so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in.
Hey, give your neighbor a high five and tell them to embrace the unexpected as you sit down. Band, thank you so much. Man, I don't want to tell the other pastors and the other services that we have, but y'all are by far and away just chasing it the best this morning. Come on, you're ready to go. All right, I've got a question for you to start things off with. How many of you like detours? I'm sorry, the lights are, I can't see. Anybody raising their hand? Nobody likes a detour? I understand. I don't like detours myself. It's amazing how a detour can literally change the atmosphere in a car at the drop of a hat. Are you with me? There's nothing like cruising along your way to your destination, and everything is amazing. The sun is shining. The windows are rolled down. The weather's perfect. The wind is just right. Everything is just perfect and amazing. My prayer life rocks when I am in a car cruising to my destination and the weather is perfect. I got the music going. I got the perfect playlist. How many of you have that road trip playlist that you pop on? It doesn't matter if the kids don't like it. They're going to have to sit in that backseat and listen to your playlist. Come on. That playlist is going. You got the peanut butter M&Ms going. Anybody like the peanut butter M&Ms? And you're, come on. That's like the perfect snack food for cruising. And you're just going and you're thinking, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this car. 50 miles left. Thank you, Jesus. 25 miles left. Thank you, Jesus. 10 miles left. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. And then all of a sudden, you see the sign. And it says, detour. And the sky turns black. And you grip the wheel. And your hands start to sweat. And that's a bummer because those peanut butter M&Ms, they start to melt. And the playlist just turns awful and every song's terrible all of a sudden. And you go from thank you, Jesus, to oh no. Oh no. Oh no, this is literally the worst thing that could possibly happen in my life. Have you been there, church? Come on, detours can be rough, can't they? They can be that moment where we realize that our plan is going completely out the window. And now the immediate future that we had planned, or in some cases, the long-term future that we had planned, is somewhat in doubt. And you might not want to hear one of your pastors say this, but I, like maybe some of you, can be a little less consistent in my acknowledgement of Jesus when my plan starts to deteriorate because of something unexpected. Is that okay for me to say? Good. It's what makes a scripture like the one that I just read so tricky, isn't it? Because I'm all about cruising down the road on my time, at my pace, at my comfort, praising the name of Jesus on my plan. I am all about that. But the moment that a curveball comes, I'm just as susceptible as anyone is to burying my head in the sand when things start to go awry. You see, a detour can cause uncertainty. It can cause a lack of focus. Or sometimes the opposite is true. It produces this hyper focus that produces tunnel vision. And along with it, a decreased awareness of what's happening around you along your way. You see, sometimes we're only a detour away from a major shift in our perspective. Sometimes we're only a detour away from a God-focused, people-focused, mission-focused perspective. Into all of a sudden, now I got to think about me because things are going wrong. But here's the thing, and this word is for somebody right here in this moment. The creator of the universe doesn't hit a pause button on your purpose because something hits you out of left field. I'll say that again for the back of y'all because they're just clapping up here, okay? The creator of the universe doesn't hit a pause button on your purpose just because a curveball comes out of nowhere and hits you from left field, okay? In Ephesians, Paul writes this. He says that we are all God's handiwork. All of us are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he set aside in advance for us to do. When I boil that down, it says, you have value and you have purpose. And we get to go through the rest of our lives bumping into what those works are that he set aside for us to do. And I happen to believe with all my heart that we have a greater probability of bumping into those works that were set aside that advanced for us to do when we are where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, doing what we're supposed to be doing. But when a detour comes up, we could be tempted to think that the detour, oh, that detour is just about us only. And therefore, our focus should turn inward only to ourselves as opposed to what's going on around us. Are you with me, church? So don't misunderstand me here, because here's the thing about detours. Detours can be painful events. Detours can be awful. Details can be anguish-inducing. Details can be so difficult that they push us so far off the rails that we can't seem to find their way back. And I need you to hear me in this moment. It isn't God that causes those things in my life. Because the devil comes and he is the one who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. And you got to remember that in that moment, church. You got to remember that in that moment. But here's the thing. His ways are not my ways. His ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than mine. He knows exactly where he wants me, and he knows what he can do right where I'm at, even if I don't see it, or even if I think it's only a detour, that's only purpose is to be a nuisance or a distraction to me. Are you with me, church? Let me give you an example. Last week was one of those weeks when my schedule was just stacked. Does anybody have those weeks? Literally, where top to bottom, there. Come on now, y'all are busy people. If I ask you how you doing, say, oh, life's busy. So, hey, we all got those weeks, right? The week where it's literally just packed top to bottom. I had little to no margin for anything other than what I was supposed to do. I was traveling in the middle of the week, and on the front end and on the back end, like, I had things that I had to get done. It's one of those weeks where you have to be diligent in your time and precise in your execution of it, and you gotta be timely, all right? Are you with me? That was my week last week. And here's the thing, we're launching some really cool things at church this year. I was meeting with some folks and their leaders who were having a meeting that night about a class we're doing. We're doing some really amazing things this year on the education front and on the discipleship front. Some of those things have come together really quickly, just God just lining things up left and right. And so there was this meeting of some folks who were leaders that were meeting about a leaders meeting that night. And as we were meeting, it quickly became apparent to me that there were some materials, quite a few materials, in fact, that we did not yet have that we needed for that evening's meeting in order for it to go well. And as we were there, it also quickly became apparent to me, just by how things were rolling out, that it was going to be me. The most efficient thing to do is honestly going to be for me to go get these materials, to run to the store, to get them, to package them up, to get them to where they need to be. Sounds like a small thing, but when you have no margin in your schedule and you cannot afford a detour, you're looking at something like that saying, okay, how can I make this happen, right? So here's what I did. I said, hey, I'm going to go to get them, I'll take care of it. So I went to this store, and the store that I went to is a store that I've been to hundreds of times before, I'm sure. I've been to that store, I've shopped at that store, I've done business at that store, and never in all my time have I ever walked through the doors of that store, the sliding glass doors go, never have I walked in and had anybody greet me, ever. So So you can imagine my surprise when I walk through those doors and the sliding glass doors go and I step in and out of nowhere, somebody says, "Hello, sir, how are you today?" I was blown away. I said, I'm fine. How are you?" Well, she says, "I'm great." And then she says, "Can I help you find anything?" No, not only have I been to that store and never been greeted at the door, I have never had anybody come say, "Hey, can I help you find anything in this huge place?" Ever. So I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely." So this incredible young lady, she proceeds to take me around the store. We're going all over the store, and she's pointing things out. I'm telling her what I need. She's saying, "Oh, you should get this. You should think about this. You should think about this version." She's incredible. Place to place, she's got what I need. It's fantastic. And then she says, "Hey, why are you getting all this stuff? What are you using all this stuff for?" And I said, "Well, actually, it's for a church meeting. Don't underestimate the power of the word church when you're with somebody. It can open up all kinds of doors. Amen." I said, "Actually, it's actually for a church meeting. I'm a pastor at a local church, and there's a church meeting that we have." And she starts telling me about how, "Oh, that's so great. Well, actually, this weekend, I'm thinking about going on this retreat for another church with a friend, and it's just to get away, so I'm going to go on this retreat. And I didn't know if I should go because I have all these incredible, like, busy things happening in life, but it's because I've got so much happening in life, I think I need to go." And before I even knew that my mouth was opening to use words, there were words coming out of my mouth. And here's what my mouth said: "Oh, you need to hear from God, don't you?" And she goes, yeah, I do. And then she starts going deeper into her story. She tells me about how she was recent to her. She was recently a single mom of three young kids, like under the age of 10, and she had all this business. She was working all these hours to try to make ends meet, and in fact, she was taking her real estate license exams because she wanted to put herself in a better situation for her family financially. She's going into this entire story, and then once again, before I even knew that my mouth was opening, there were words coming out of my mouth, and I said, "Oh, you're going to do incredibly well in that. In fact, you're going to find a lot of people homes, and you're going to make a lot of money as a real estate agent." And by this time, she's like blinking, like, "Yeah." And then I said, "Do you want to pray? Can I pray for you?" And she just drops everything. She's like, "Yeah, come on, let's pray." She's holding her hands out. Yes. So they're literally in the middle of this store with coworkers around, and there's people that are shopping, and I'm praying for this young lady. I'm praying for favor as she takes her real estate exams. I'm praying that she would find favor and blessing in her new career, that it would literally change generations in her family because of her obedience and for protection over her children. It was incredible. And so right there, we're doing this. It was clearly an appointment set aside for me and that young lady to meet that day and pray, get this, in the middle of a detour. In the middle of a detour. Church, when you're on a detour, the temptation will be for you to grip the wheel tighter and get hyper-focused on what's right in front of you and just keep going. But church, it's vital that in the detours of life, we look around us, and we look around us to find the people that are around us. In fact, it's imperative. Here's the deal. A detour for you is a plan for God. A detour for you is a plan for God. His promises to us are yes and amen. It says in Corinthians, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So in the midst of that detour, it's imperative that we look around us and see who's around. Maybe in that moment, maybe just maybe, somebody needs blessed. Maybe in that moment, maybe just maybe, somebody needs to know that there's even a God, and the only thing that's in front of them are the hands and the feet that are you and me saying, "Okay, well, I'm going to make sure that you know there's a God, because I'm going to take time in this moment to see you, to speak with you, and to pray for you." Are you with me, church? In the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus receiving some really bad news. He receives some awful news, the kind of news that can turn your world upside down. His cousin John, we know him as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. That was Jesus' cousin. His cousin John had just been killed. And the scripture says that when Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. You ever notice how a sucker punch can cause you to detour? You ever notice how something out of nowhere, a sucker punch can cause you to detour? And sometimes that detour can cause you to completely withdraw. Pain, anguish, fear, doubt, frustration, guilt. Life throws something at you, and all you want to do is hide. Now, sometimes we can come out of it pretty quickly and resume our previous course, right? Sometimes we can just get back up off the mat. But sometimes the hit is too deep, and the pain just seems too great that we take a detour, and we check out, and we withdraw. And sometimes that withdrawal lasts so long that we start to think this lie that, you know what, this withdrawal from this pain that I experienced has gone on so long that there's no way that I'm ever going to make it back to the original course. There's no way I could ever return to the original course now. And then, on top of that, because as if that lie isn't good enough in and of itself, because the evil one will speak a lie to you in a moment when you're down, right? And then what he'll do is he'll give you another thought that you start to believe, and then he'll start to blame you for even having the thought when it was his thought in the first place, and he's the one that put it there. Because that's what he does, church. So sometimes we get worried that not only did life throw us a punch that knocked me down, but while I was down, while I've been down here for so long, my purpose may have passed me by. Maybe my purpose passed me by. Maybe I missed my moment. Maybe too much time has passed. Because when you've got the thumb on you, right? And that's what the evil one does. You got that thumb just rubbing down there, and you're never going to be there. I'm never going to get out of this pit. There's no way that I could ever return. And that, I need you to hear this, church, is an absolute lie. Because you're not meant to be down here, church. You're a son of or daughter of the Most High. You're holy and dearly loved. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and the Word of God says that you and I are seated in heavenly places. That's not down here, church. That's up here. So when you hear that lie, you call it out for what it is. I'm being lied to in this moment. I won't stay down here because I'm not meant to be here. And that's what I love about Jesus. That's what I love about reading about Jesus in the Bible. You can just read, relate. Read, oh, I can relate. Read, relate. And it's not just me relating to him. He relates to us. He walked among us. He felt our pain, church. So Jesus gets this word about his cousin. Absolute sucker punch. He gets a word about his cousin, and he gets in a boat to be alone. And then the scripture says this. Hearing of this, because there's crowds of people around. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Remember, Jesus gets in a boat to go be alone. The crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. And he healed their sick. Who followed him? Church, who followed him? Come on, who followed him? The crowds. What's a crowd made up of? People. Come on, somebody, say people. You see, people are Jesus' purpose. He came to heal the sick. His purpose followed him. And right in the midst of his detour, it shows up in the form of people. And then he heals them. Church, you need to hear this. Your purpose doesn't follow the detour. Your purpose follows you. The detour didn't write your purpose. God wrote your purpose. The detour doesn't dictate whether or not you have a purpose. God dictates whether or not you have a purpose. The detour doesn't say whether or not you missed your moment. God provides a moment, church. Come on. I find it so interesting that it's the Apostle Paul that writes the scripture that I read right at the beginning of this service. That he writes Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I find it interesting that it's Paul that writes that. It's incredibly interesting that in all things, honor God all the time, that Paul writes that. You see, Paul was a guy that had always been focused on his plan. He'd always been one of the best of the best of the best growing up. Many of you may not know this, but Paul was one of the elite in his religious circles back in the day. And I'm not talking about when he was serving Jesus and when he was in his ministry for Jesus. I'm talking way before that. You see, the Apostle Paul had this completely other life before he went into ministry for Jesus. He was an elite persecutor of anyone who followed Jesus. He was highly educated. He had huge expectations religiously of himself. Likely the peers around him had huge religious expectations of him as well. He hated Christians. In fact, he hunted them down. He imprisoned them. He killed them. And he was likely, in all honesty, probably fulfilling many of the desires that he had for his own life at that time. He was well known. He was important. He was in service to his cause. He was powerful. He was successful. And then one day, when Paul was minding his own business, walking down a road, Jesus, who by this time had already been crucified, buried, and resurrected, he literally stops Paul in his tracks while he's traveling down a road, and he essentially says to Paul, "Son, you've been persecuting me, and now you're going to serve me. I choose you." Talk about a detour. Let's just be real. Talk about like the ultimate detour in somebody's life. And then Paul goes on to start a church planting movement that's chronicled in the New Testament and fuels the spreading of the gospel in the early church. His letters represent the lion's share of the New Testament. His work for Jesus is the roadmap to so much of how we approach ministry to this day. Here's the thing. Paul's entire ministry is a detour. Paul's entire ministry is a detour. Paul's going this way. And the detour that comes on his life is Jesus. And his entire life is defined by what comes after that. And those desires that Paul had in his heart, that he had for his own life, all the things that he probably wanted to be, that he thought he was fulfilling before he served Jesus, guess what? He got those too. He got the desires of his heart too, even after he took the detour and followed Jesus. Because 2,000 years later, he's one of the most well-known writers of all time. His work is of the utmost importance to millions of believers across the world. And the power that he walked in by the Holy Spirit is literally the model of what can be done when the Holy Spirit has power through one person in the kingdom, church. God promises us to give us the desires of our heart if we delight in him. And that's clearly evident in Paul's life, even in the detour, church. 12 years ago, a detour led Christy and I into a church that was meeting in a theater at Jordan Creek Mall. Literally, a detour led us into this little church. We'd recently found out that we were pregnant with our first child. And I don't know as though we had actually stepped foot inside a church together in the 6 years that we'd been married since we walked out of the church that day. I don't think we had we? Literally had not even walked into a church. And we kind of had that old school. Sometimes I'm kind of an old school guy, and so we're going to have a baby. You got to raise that baby in a church, baby. We got to find a church. So we start looking around. And right around the corner from our house, there's this little townhouse, and there are yard signs in it. Praise God for yard signs. There's yard signs in this church advertising Jordan Creek Family Church. They meet in this little theater in Jordan Creek Mall, and I think, well, how weird can that be? It's a church that meets in a theater. Let's try there. If it's no good, we'll get popcorn on the way out. Maybe catch a movie. Maybe I can just stay in the seat. I won't have to pay. I'll just stay in the seat for the movie that comes after service. As before, I was a Christian. Come on. So we show up, and immediately we're welcomed in by all of these incredible people who are glad to see us. They're glad that we're there. They shake our hands and they look us in the eyes, just like our ushers do right out here. And we walk in, and the music's incredible, just like it is here. And granted, this is just a tiny church at the time. Tiny, tiny church meeting in the theater. And it was absolutely incredible. We sensed that we were supposed to be there. And then not long after that, I think it was either a week or 2 weeks, we lost the baby. And the whole reason that we thought we were at church, the whole purpose that we thought for the reason we walked through those doors like that, it was gone. And yet in our darkest moment, in our darkest moment, we were surrounded by a loving group of people in this church. We were exactly where we were supposed to be. And that tiny church 12 years ago that met in this little theater in Jordan Creek Mall, that tiny church today is what we now call Eternity Church. It meets in 4 services across 2 campuses, plus an online campus. And we have this huge reach in the Des Moines metropolitan area and beyond, but it's not just here because we have our online campus too. We have this growing presence outside of this because of that. Christy and I have the honor of being pastors on staff at this church. We've got 2 beautiful kids. We've got this growing sense of purpose for our lives, because with the evil one meant to harm us and to destroy us, God used for life-defining purpose. And hear me in this. Life-defining purpose, literally 12 years on from that moment I'm sitting here preaching on this stage. Literally. Right now, we're having this moment right now. All because of a detour. All because of a detour. That's why it's important to not just keep in mind the people that we see in those detours, but God, where are you in those detours? God's right there with you in that detour. He is right there. And your purpose follows you into that detour, because your purpose was there first, because he handcrafted you and his fingerprints are all over you. It doesn't matter where you go. His fingerprints are all over you wherever you go, church. So wherever you go, that purpose follows you into that place. Many of you are on a detour today. Let's be real. Many of you are on a detour today. Some of you have no clue why you're here. Some of you have no clue why you're at Eternity Church. Why did I listen to you drag me into church? Why did I listen to my neighbor? Why did I listen to my family member? Why am I here? I don't know. They said they'd give me a gift bag on the way out, so I came. That was last week. I'm here for a second gift bag. Maybe they'll give it to me. I don't know. may I submit to you that this detour may actually change your life and put you smack dab in the middle of right where you're supposed to be. And the purpose that was on your life all along is going to come alive when you experience the presence of God and with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Literally, this is going to come on, somebody. This is literally going to change generations. It could literally change your block. It could literally change your family. It could literally change your workplace. It could literally change the lives of your coworkers. You could have children, and their children could go on to literally change the nations, church. Living a life knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the way to live a purpose-filled, satisfying life. It is the way to live a purpose-filled, satisfying life. And if you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know Jesus today, if today is your day to have an encounter that wrecks your life and gives you a detour that you are going to use to literally catapult you into your future, let's have this day be that moment where you meet him for the first time, or you come back to him and you said, Jesus, I am going to follow you for the rest of my days. I'm not asking you all of a sudden to be some perfect model person. I'm just asking you in this moment to lay down every heavy burden in your life, every regret, every pain, every sorrow, and let him pick you up and put you back right where you're supposed to be and set you on solid ground with a brand new life, a life of purpose, an abundant life that's free from your past. Now, there's a second group of you now that I want to talk to for 2 seconds. You can stay standing here. The rest is going to stand up here in a second. They're bound to get inspired to at some point. You just keep standing. Come on. There's another group of people in this place that I want you to hear this. Because of whatever sucker punch you've received, because of whatever left field detour came your way, you've withdrawn for so long that you aren't sure whether or not you can have an incredible life. You have withdrawn for so long that you're not sure that you can live a life of purpose, that you could live a full life, that you could live a life with Jesus as your Lord. And I want to tell you, my friend, that not only can you, but it is only one yes away. You're not as far as you think you are, church. You are one yes away. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have everybody else stand up. See, I told you I'd get you there. I'm going to have everybody stand up. Good. And here's what we're going to do, church. Together as a church, together as a church family, and even if this is your first time, guess what? You're surrounded by family. So now you have one. So we're all family in this place. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to pray a prayer together. And you don't have to come up with the prayer. I'm going to pray it one line at a time. Here's what you're going to do. You're just going to repeat after me. And if you are in either of those two groups of people that I just talked to, I want you to make this prayer the cry of your heart. You had your heart thumping when I was talking to you. And that isn't me. I didn't call you by name. It's not my fault. You talked to the Holy Spirit about that one. But that means it's even more authentic to just some dude at a stage talking. That's literally the living God speaking to you in that moment. So if you're going to pray this, I want this prayer that we're going to pray in a moment to be the cry of your heart. We're going to pray it together line by line. So I want every head to go down, every head bowed, every eye closed. And you're just going to repeat after me as I pray this prayer, church, loudly and boldly. Make this your cry. Here we go. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. He died on a cross for my sins, and he rose again to give me life, hope, peace, joy, and eternal life. I receive it all. Come on, say that one. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life the way you designed it. Special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. church. Let's give God a shout of praise. Here's what we want to do. Come on. Let's not let this moment pass you by. Here's what I want you to do, church. There's a couple things I want you to do. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if today is your detour moment and you are bound now for a life of purpose and promise, or if today is your moment where you say, no, I'm going to come back to Jesus. Today is my day and I'm coming back to Jesus. If you prayed that prayer and it was the cry of your heart, there's a couple things we want you to do. First thing we want you to do, we want you to text the word SAVED to the number 25827. They've got it back there. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827. We have a gift that we want to send you in the mail. We've got a Bible. We've got a CD that has some music, like the music that we sing here. And there's a gift card to a local coffee house. We just want to bless you with that because we believe that life's just going to be better with a Bible, music, and caffeine, okay? So take that phone out. Come on now. Take that phone out. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827. Here's the second thing that I want you to do, church. Because I get to stand up on here and I get to deliver a message and I know that there's hearts beating, but if you would just be able to do me the honor of letting me personally know who you are, because I just want to pray for you right from where I stand to you. I'm not going to call you out by name. I just want to pray in general for all of you who prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time. I'm not going to point you out. Here's what we're going to do. I want everybody to bow their heads. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. The band's not looking around. It's just me. If this is your moment, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, just do me the honor, church, because I want to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up? Hands going up. Come on, all over this place. Let's put that hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Come on, church. Is there anybody else? 7, 8. I see that hand. 9. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. 9 people. Amen. God, thank you so much for every believer in this place, for every new believer in this place. Church, come on, just reach out your hands as I'm praying. We're going to pray for all these people. Lord, thank you for the lives that have been literally detoured today for your purpose, for your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. People stepping into Holy Spirit-filled kingdom purpose in their lives. Thank you for those folks today and for every believer here who's coming back to you today. We thank you for them, God. Seal hope on their lives. Seal love and peace and joy on their lives. May they never know a moment without you completely near to them, loving them. Thank you, Jesus. And together we loudly and boldly all said, amen. Amen. Church, come on, give God a shout of praise.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.